ushering in of the age of Aquarius. When I look over the green field of clover, or watch the sunset at the end of the day, I get kind of moody when I see such beauty. Everything's beautiful in its own way. When I see a fountain flow from a mountain, or see April showers bring flowers to May, I can't help but wonder, life is such a wonder, and everything's beautiful in its own. Can't describe what I feel inside when I see the beauty of each coming day. What my eyes behold can't be bought or sold. Everything's beautiful in its own way. I see the clouds form a black summer windstorm that uproots the harvest and hurls it away. In the midst of such anger, destruction, and danger, the storm's even beautiful in its own way. I see the leaves drop off from the treetop, or see snow fall on a cold winter's day. My thoughts seem to wander into that blue yonder. Everything's beautiful in its own way. Words can't describe what I feel inside when I see the beauty of each coming day. What my eyes behold can't be bought or sold, and everything's beautiful in its own way. Everything's beautiful in its own way.
Thank you, Bonnie. That was wonderful. And now we come to our speaker, our own Reverend Connie Beth Grady.
Good morning. What a beautiful day it is. Gorgeous day. It allows us to be thankful and grateful that fall is coming. That beautiful, spectacular painting that God brings every year. So beautiful. What I would like to speak to you about today is feelings. So that song was great, Bonnie. A few Sundays ago, there were some people here visiting, and I enjoyed talking with them so much. And they were talking about near-death experiences. Some of you met them while they were here. I can't remember their names. But they were talking about how people in this day and age, or people so far until this time, many people haven't learned how to feel. You see, on the earth plane, The intellect has been so important, and feelings have been put on the back burner. Matter of fact, if you're male, you better not even cry. You have to hold everything in. So the bad thing about that is when you're dealing with a spiritual path and you're dealing with communication, it all has to do with vibration and feelings. Many of us have had difficulty. When I first came, I had some difficulty. Sometimes when we can't feel, it's because we've had some tragedies, maybe growing up, and we've shut down our feelings for protection. It's like we put a wall of protection around us. And then school of hard knocks keeps hitting and hitting and hitting. And guess what? We soon find out that we do have feelings. We know all about the bad feelings. But we don't want to investigate the feelings any longer because we don't know about the good feelings. But everything is vibration, even feelings. Everything is vibration. A bad feeling and good feeling, they're on the same vibratory link. It's just that the bad feeling has less love and excitement. The good feeling has more love and excitement. And it's learning to follow that trail and getting rid of those blocks of tragedy that's happened to us that made us shut down. Or maybe we were taught to shut down. But anyway, we go on into the intellect. And when we're very intelligent, and I had a brother that was very, very, very intelligent. And at the time, when you're very intelligent, that's where you get your feedback. That's, you know, your parents go, oh, you've done a great job, you've done this, you've done that. Oh, how spectacular. And it is spectacular because if it weren't for the intellect, all these marvelous inventions might not have taken place. We need everybody and we need everyone, but when you have the combination of both, you have an explosion of ideas. You have an explosion of feelings because you begin to feel the excitement and in yourself and you want more of it. The music field, the artists, the walkers, the joggers, those who go into nature, they already know about feelings because that's how they accomplish what they do. In walking in on a path, and in walking in my life, is I did it first to get healthy and to be fit. But what I discovered, and I first started walking 3 miles a day back in about the 70s sometime. And a friend of mine had cancer. And she was really out of shape. And she said, Connie, I want to walk this path. I want to walk this path. Will you walk it with me? Well, let me tell you, we struggled the first day. We sit down, we get back up, and Lord, when we ran out of steam, it was right in the hot sun, because this beautiful path in Anderson, Indiana, is around two lakes, and it's through a wooded path. And eventually, we got very good at it. Eventually, we wanted to do 6 miles a day, and we did. But you see, what we discovered was she started talking about her discontents and things that had been bothering her. And she was able to start releasing these things. And then she began to look around, as I did, and see nature all around. And every day, do you know that every day on that walking path, there was something new in bloom? Or something new sprouted up. If you get bored easily, walk in nature. It changes all the time. And you, the more of the little things you begin to realize and see, more of the big things you begin to look around and really start to feel amazement in the simplest things in life. And what that can teach us is to begin to be mindful, of our thoughts, to be mindful that we're more than our intellect, that we're a being that is a receptor of vibrations all around us. And when we become to be a receptor of the vibrations all around us and things that are, then we begin to open our mind just a little bit more, and we realize ideas start floating down in our mind. Now, my husband's one, he has lots of ideas, but he doesn't like to talk about them. But I can tell you when he's getting an idea, he's always outside. And then you see him, he starts talking, and nobody's there. And any of you know Stanley, when he starts talking, he can't talk without this. He's out there having a conversation. He thinks with himself, but he's really not. He's getting wonderful ideas, and he implements them. But it's taking the time to be silent, to begin to feel. So many of my friends have grown up in tragedy. And sometimes our tragedies, we put up another curtain too, to insulate us. So, you know, we've been hurt, so we don't want to go back there. But the tragedy is, until we heal ourselves at that age, it's still keeping us back from our full potential of our spiritual self. Sometimes in class, we have guided meditations where we visualize some of the tragedies that we've gone through. And we have a routine of forgiveness and even forgiving ourselves for not knowing any better than to hold on to that and to build the wall around us and to see ourselves being loved and nurtured by our adult selves. And then forgiving whoever put that in our mind that we were unworthy. And then also forgiving ourselves for believing it. I tell you, it's remarkable what that little exercise can do. And then you use your imagination to replace those things with how you wish it had been. Many of you are so talented in programming a computer. That's really what we're all about, except we have feelings. We have feelings that open us up to different faculties. And one thing, too, it goes back to that old thing. When you're wanting something, you have to ask. You see, we want to think we know it all. That because we might not be good enough if we don't know it all. We might not be intellectually good enough if we don't know it all. And in knowing it all, sometimes it takes a test tube for the very intellect. And that's what these people were telling me about scientists, the people with the near-death experience. They go, they want everything in a test tube, but they don't understand that inspiration and vibration and communication are above that vibration. And when you have everything, you want everything in a test tube, it's so analytical that we can't get into that consciousness to allow it to happen. The two don't meet. Once you can get into that consciousness, then there's a spiritualized intellect that can come along and work with you. And that's on a different level. It's on a very different level. And there's one last thing I'd like to talk about. And that is, sometimes we just need to make new habits. Because we all do have feelings, because we know what it feels like to be made a fool of, or we know what it feels like not to feel smart enough. We got to use that vibration and use that vibration to get into, I think I am good enough. I am part of God. So that means I am part of love. If God is love, I am love. I just have not been aware of it. If I can open my mind and start thinking positive and start being aware of what's around me, and maybe if I've never played, Scott's talking, we know Scott plays. He's still playing. Look how happy he is. Well, then maybe you need to blow some bubbles. I always say we need to have a play day here once in a while where we color and blow bubbles. And I used to love to play jacks. I could beat everybody, you know. I used to love to do that. I haven't even done that for a long time. But then when we expand and we begin to think in a new way, in a different way of possibilities and the simple things in life, then we can start feeling even more. I just happened to look on Facebook before I walked out here, and I saw a posting, and it said, we do not heal the past by dwelling there. We heal the past by living fully in the present. And that's being aware and looking around at the beauty all around you. If you need to, hug a tree. Look at what's there. Look at the animals. I remember when we moved to the woods one day, I was walking out there, and all of a sudden, I just felt for the first time the wonderful, brilliant feeling of just being. B-E-I-N-G, a verb, just being, not having to accomplish anything, and allowing the wind to blow my hair, to feel the sun coming down on my face and seeing the puddles of shadows coming through the trees all around. That's being in touch with your spiritual self. That is being, and you're well